Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome again to the Fireside Chat with yours truly, Apostle Johnny Floyd. Those that know me, some call me brother, some call me elder, some call me preacher, some call me prophet, those that call me an apostle. And so all of those are just functions of how God uses us. And so, again, just welcome to this Fireside Chat. It's going to be different tonight. It's always something crazy going on, but it's going to be different tonight. I felt God pulling on my heartstrings about something. And so I wanted to be sure that I chimed in and address what God had given me. So before we go further, let's just go quickly into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. God, we appreciate you. Above all, Father, Lord, you are King. Father, we pray, God, that you take control of this opportunity to speak to your people tonight, those that are listening across the United States. Father, we pray, God, for those in other countries, oh, Lord, that are chiming in South America and Iceland, Father, even from Africa. So, God, we thank you. God, we pray that the words that you give us to speak go out and do the things that you have designed that it does. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I am grateful to be before you tonight, even by radio. Some are listening in online and some are on their phones. Tonight is unique, you know, because God's been pulling on me to do certain things. And this particular night, he gave me this particular topic, Don't Stop Dreaming. And I want to address something that can snatch away your dream. The writer in the book of Proverbs, if we turn with me quickly, I know some of you have different versions of the Bible, and that's okay. We want to go to Proverbs chapter number 29, verse number 18. Proverbs 29, and it simply says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. One of the things that can stop you from dreaming. I want to go directly into it. I don't want to do a caveat or anything or lay a foundation. I just want to address one of the specific things that can stop you from dreaming is to not have a vision. This is unique now because of some of us, we live off of the dreams or the visions of others. Oftentimes, pastors cast a vision in the church, and I want to really categorize this. They cast a vision in church, and the vision that they cast in the church in the present day 21st century church has to do with building a building and asking the people to believe in building this edifice. It may be 500 people attending the ministry, but they want to build a building that will seat 3,000 or 5,000, in some cases 10. I don't have a problem with that. So the work of the vision now comes on the back of the people. So that type of vision is not what I'm speaking of. And so so the vision that keeps you dreaming doesn't really have anything to do with the present day 21st century church. So as all of you all are chiming in and you're being a part of this and you're listening in tonight, the real challenge is to understand the context of what Solomon was writing. Just a little history here. The book of Proverbs was written by three people. Chapter 2, the 29th chapter, was written by Solomon. The last two chapters were shared between two different men. So Solomon goes into the 29th chapter, in which Proverbs is known as a book of wisdom, right? And so with the wisdom of Solomon, he says this. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, again, I want to show you how we equate this. We equate this to the pastor casting a vision, okay? We equate this to the man or the woman of God that we have so deemedly given them that terminology or that name, that they cast a vision for the people to believe in. And so this has become the issue where some people get frustrated with church, because this didn't have anything to do with building a building. Solomon was a king, and he was wise, so he did not have to speak wisdom in reference to building a building, you know, because he had a kingdom. You know, this was him being the offspring of David. He has a kingdom. So he was not encouraging them to go out and to build. And I notice now, and he was encouraging them to see beyond where they are. In other words, I need for you to dream. You know, I need for you to dream. And I'm not going to go to sleep and snore and that type dream, but I need you to start visualizing something that you believe you are inspired to do. Let me go a little further. It is not difficult for men or women to dream, because men and women, they are visionaries. You know, we have dreamers and we have visionaries, right? And so the dreamers are normally the younger people. The visionaries are the older people. So it's not color strict, it's not color gender, it's not done based upon sex, it's not done based upon national origin. You know, we all have the DNA of a dream, and I want to clarify that, because you are the vision of God. And if you are the vision of God, And God created you in his image, then you have the attributes in your spirit that God has. So if you possess the same attributes in your spirit that God has, then you are a visionary. God uses us to bring things that do not exist in the earth. One of the failures of the present day church in years past was that they didn't believe in anything past the four walls of the church. It was almost like it was cultish. And some of you all may understand and know what I'm speaking of, because in the holiness perspective, you know, women couldn't wear pants. you know, they had to be conservatively dressed. You couldn't have a TV in your house. It was known as the one-eyed demon. And you couldn't hang around or be friends with people that didn't believe what you believed. So that was cultish, you know. And you know, again, some of you may disagree with that, but it was very cultish. And so because of that, what it does is it starts separating people, and now you don't think for yourself. You start thinking for or trying to grow the mindset of the pastor and not the spirit of God. And so we become people that want to be clones of the pastor of the church that we attend. And so that becomes problematic, because if the pastor doesn't give you permission to do something, then you won't do it. And which means that the very thing that God has given you to do won't take place, because the vision wasn't given to the pastor to do something in specific. It was given to you. Think about that now. God is a visionary. You are his vision. And so before anything happens, you know, in this earth, God provides for his vision. So you having a vision becomes vital. It becomes very vital. You know, because you have to see beyond where you are. Now, let me digress here for a minute. Because the human side of me is telling me it's hard to see beyond where you are when your present circumstances are grim. It is difficult to imagine something great when your present situation is dark, you know, and when you're surrounded by dark clouds, how do you dream when you're getting hit by every little thing that comes your way? I want to say this, and I don't want to belittle anybody or cast aspersions on anyone's thoughts, but, you know, if you get out of trying to figure it out all the time, one of the things that holds us up is we need to know the steps. We need to know everything, and God is just not going to reveal everything to us. You have to come to grips with that and know that God is not going to come to grips with you. God is not going to reveal everything to you, and you have to understand that as you make these necessary steps moving forward, then God shows you the next step. You know, so we now, you know, from the human side, when you're going through so much, it's hard to have a vision of something other than what you're presently experiencing. You know, if you lost your job, you know, and bills are due. We know that person, everybody knows Bill. When Bill knocks at your door, you have to pay him or suffer the consequences behind not paying Bill. And sometimes not paying Bill means car gets repossessed. It means being kicked out. It means not having lights, not having water, or not being able to drive the vehicle because they paid up the car insurance. All these things come into play, and we don't include credit cards and the rest of that stuff in there, you know, because they're away when money is tight. How can I see beyond my present situation when my resources are at its lowest point? How can I even think about a dream? How can I even have a vision? And if you notice now, in Proverbs chapter 29 and 18, it said, where there is no vision, the people perish. When you lose sight of your dream, you start to die. Two things that I've learned, that when a man stops learning, he starts dying. And so we have to be students all the time. The other thing that I learned, if you cannot envision or have something thinking beyond where you are, then you don't have hope. I hope y'all hear me now. Because when we read biblically about faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And you cannot have faith without hope, the evidence of things not seen. So if you cannot see it, but yet you can hope for it, there has to be a dream or some image that you're creating in your thought process that you're reaching for that's keeping you alive. Some of us, we live through our children, we live through our jobs, we live through the people that we're around, but I really want you to grab a hold of this now. If you don't have hope, because it's an element of a vision, then you have nothing that you're reaching for. And so, again, faith is something that we hope for, but we cannot see. Faith deals with your vision. The other thing that casts a dark cloud over you, that causes you not to see is when you've been delivered from something and you find yourself back in it. You know, A.R. Bernard says this. He says, when a man loses his vision, he results back to the things that God delivered him from. And A.R. Bernard grabs that from the scripture that talks about the dog returning to his vomit. So, you know, he finds a better way to put it by saying, when a man loses his vision, he returns back to the very thing that God pulled him out of. Think about this now. These are vision killers. And they want to come around because they know, you know, this spirit of deception or taking away your dreams or causing you to stop dreaming now visualizes, gives you a vision, but it doesn't give you a vision of hope. It gives you a vision of despair. It causes you to go in a shell. You know, yesterday was a unique time for me. I'll tell you why. For all the historians out there, you know, April the 4th was significant in Black history because it was the day that in Memphis, Tennessee, that Dr. Martin Luther King, back in the year of 1968, was assassinated. April the 4th, 1968, in Memphis, at a hotel, Dr. King was assassinated. And it becomes a historical moment for me because in 2002 it is also the day that my father passed away. And, you know, he's not here, but what Dr. King or my father had to be bigger than them and had to be a vision because your vision outlives you. It is so powerful and so strong that it outlives you. Look at the reason now that Satan would want you to not have a vision. Number one, your vision comes from God. Number two, it outlives you. Your vision does things for people that you will never meet, never talk to, but they will know who you are because you trusted God to move in an area that everyone else was afraid of. And that vision creates a legacy that your children, your grandchildren, your family members can now see and partake in. Look at the strength of your vision. Because Dr. King never thought that his name would live that in that way after his death. You know, he said his final speech that night, and he looked over the mountaintop and he seen the promised land. He said he may not get there with us, but you know, he was on his way and his eyes had seen the glory and the coming of the Lord. That was his summation of the things that now he had come to be a part of, that he felt like that God had done. Now, did he know that his vision that he has for his young children or for Black children or for Black and white America to come together, he didn't know if that would materialize, but he had hope. Watch this vision. Here we are, and yes, we still have ways to go. You know, yes, we do. We have a lot of ways to go within ourselves as long as dealing with others. But look what his vision has provoked. You know, look at what his vision has provoked. I wonder if you stop dreaming, what will your vision not provoke? Who suffers behind the fact that you stop dreaming? Where there is no vision, but people perish. The other element in this discussion, again, it goes beyond church. Because, and I'll tell you why, in church, in religious organizations, you only attract people that are willing to conform to what you believe. Doesn't mean this is what God said. You only attract those people that are willing to conform to what you believe. And that's not a God vision. You know, that vision is not of God, because you control what is being said, how it's being said, and if they don't believe what you believe, you ask them to leave. Watch what I say now, your church. So since it's your church, it doesn't belong to God. Let's keep that clear. And so there's a lot of disparities when it comes to visions being casted that way as far as the church. So your vision has to be bigger and more stronger than a church. Let me show you how big a vision can be. There was a man that created the artificial heart. His vision lives beyond him. The men and women that came up with artificial limbs, prosthetics, many people that have lost limbs, whether in car accidents or incidents or diseases or illnesses or even in war, are benefiting from having these prosthetics. If I could go a little further, that there are people that have created different types of shoes, you know, and that we wear for leisure, for professions, or for special events, you know. But the person that created that took that vision and played it out there. They probably didn't take it to where it is today, but it lives now beyond them. I wonder, you know, who the person was that came up with creating false teeth, you know, with people that lose their teeth and now are having to need some type of instrument that they can eat food with. Look at these. You think this is comical, but it's not. You know, we just witnessed some incidents on national TV over a disease of that is called alopecia. And I really didn't know that much about it, you know, and I've come to find some other things, you know, about it after reading. But look at the black woman that created black hair products, and or the women or the individual that created the wig, and how it has transformed during the years to where now, you know, people, when you look at them, you think it's their hair because they bought it, but it's not hair that is grown out of their body. But it helps their self-image. Watch it now. Image deals with vision. So because you're visualizing something, I really want you to now just think for one, to give yourself 30 seconds, you know, to look at the many things that have come about because of vision. And it has went beyond the years. The brother that came up with the cell phone, when he got it, it was this big phone that, you know, that looked like it would hang on the wall. Now they're about the size of a garage door or somewhat bigger, but this phone has so many additives on it. You know, people are doing business on that phone. They're banking on that phone. They're transferring money on their phone. They're paying their bills with their phone. Some of us, if we lose our phone, we would lose our mind. But look at the person that had the vision of the phone and how it has transformed through the years. And we talk about phones, televisions, you know, laptop computers, eyewear, you know, the eyewear that helped us because our vision has gotten bad. You know, watch that word now, you know, because we are visual people, and without seeing it, sometimes we don't believe it. So a vision says that it's not there yet. So, you know, if you're with somebody, you know, or if you're next to someone, you have a vision because it's what you see is not here yet. You know, and so you have to continue to visualize it because it's something that God gave you. And let me tell you, sometimes we don't share things. And I've been guilty of this. I'm going to say this. I've been guilty of this. Sometimes I don't share anything with people because I'm trying to keep what I'm doing a secret, you know, because we have business ideas that are stolen by other people. But the truth is, whatever God gave you, whatever he's showing you, if you just follow his footsteps or follow his instructions as he shows them to you, it don't matter who knows what you do. They cannot steal what God has given you. Keep this in your heart, my brother, my sister. You know, don't stop dreaming. You know, and don't confine your dreams to a building with a cross on the top of it that we call a church or the New Age churches. You know, don't stop. Don't think ministry is all about preaching, teaching. You know, ministry is really service. But how can you serve now if your vision is not there and you're dying away? How can you? I know a situation going on right now where a pastor has really been trying to encourage people his way for a number of years, and he's kind of giving them false hope, you know, and so because there's no reality behind what he's telling them, and I'm going to verify what I mean by that, and he has become a victim of his own circumstance, meaning that he wouldn't let them do anything unless he said it, he wouldn't approve it. And so they really hibernated around him, and they did not move when it was time to move. And now they're waiting around him after 30 years, still waiting to do something when he tells them to go do it. And so for that reason, for those that had vision and those that really took chances, they were kind of castaways, you know, because they would say things like the pastor didn't approve that. The pastor didn't tell you you could do that. You know, the pastor didn't say we could go there. The pastor didn't say you could do it. And that's how they live. They live like that today. And so there has been no growth in them. And so even the many people that he have, there has been no growth around him. Their lack of growth has stunted his movement. You know, because he was trying to control what they do. In that manner, now he's not able to do things that are necessarily for him to do in his aging because he doesn't have a successor. No one would do anything unless he advised them to, because this was his church. What happens when you don't give freedom to people that God has sent your way? They don't grow. They lose sight of the very dream that God has given them. And when you take away their dream, it's like taking away the teeth of a lion. He doesn't have anything to defend himself. You've taken his strength away from him. And when you do that, you have a lot of teethless tigers. They can growl, but they can't do anything. And when people get a whiff of just your growling, you can't do anything with them. So keeping this in mind, the whole essence of this, and not really wanted to talk about something else, but that God kind of dealt with me because I was really talking about the tabernacle and the different elements around the tabernacle because I wanted us to see that. But if God never cast a vision to the children of Israel that they could be free, why would they pray for a Messiah? If our slaves from early years didn't believe in freedom, why would they want to be free? Someone cast a vision to them that was beyond where they were. And some of them died that their families may live, that they could experience what freedom is. Now, do we actually live free today? That's a suspect answer. You know, do we live more freely in this country than in others? Yeah. But there is still boundaries around us. I wonder for every one of these 300 people that are on this call, what would this world be like if your vision never died? What would happen to the people that are around you? And it is some truth to this. You know, somebody told me today, and I know she's listening. She said, I'm only concerned about the people that are around me. And there's some truth to that. I couldn't argue that comment because it was true. It's hard for me to pull other people in when I don't have contact with them. And I really don't think about them because the area that I'm in, I'm working on the vision that God gave me. And so, her saying that to me kind of woke something up. Because a wise woman once told me this. And you, if you ever hear me say something about a wise woman, I'm talking about my big mama. She said, a vision connected to a vision affects a vision. Listen to that. A vision connected to a vision affects a vision. Instead of people really trying to not pursue their vision, they should, because God connects visions together. They don't operate on an island by themselves. When you take the vision that God has given you and you give it to him, he links you with someone else that has a vision that may not even be your vision, but the two of these visions now come together to do something different. So when those two visions now connect to another vision, it strengthens them as a whole, because all three of them may do three different things, but those three different things they need in order to move forward. I believe when God said that, you know, let us make man, he had a vision in his mind of a people that was made in his image, and that vision that he had of them, that they would begin to listen to him as he individually and wonderfully made them, but pointed them in directions that may seem separate or far away, but it was actually bringing them together. If your vision now is of God, it will outlive you. If your vision is about you, it's only going to last for a short period of time. Believe it or not, Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world. His vision was never about himself. His vision was about people and the way he could bring the needs of professionals together, but he would harness or warehouse all of these professional products. So he had a vision about people because we spend money. He positioned a platform that people could spend their money. He positioned a platform that people could put their products, and they will sell their products at bulk online. He has a vision that if he dies tomorrow, Amazon still goes on. Amazon still works. Amazon still is moving. Regardless of how people are treated when they work there, because folks are in need of a job, and that vision is only about them paying their bills. They go to Amazon, they go to work, and so they do this for a number of years, and they find themselves stuck or unfulfilled because of everything that they love to do, they can't do because some, you know, we use excuses. And sometimes, you know, the things that happen in life, it does present some problems for us. It does. Let's not be so religious and so high minded that we think, the Lord and he's going to be there. Sure, God is always there. But he's pushing you to step out on the vision. God sees things that you don't see.
Now, I was speaking of my father and you know, yesterday being marked the 20 years that he's passed away. And I never would, you know, it seems like yesterday. But my dad wrote a letter. And in this letter, he stated on April the 1st, 2002, he wrote this letter. And the letter says, "For I have given him all that I can give him. I've emptied myself in him, you know, and I have nothing else to give. I find myself calling my son and asking him for advice. And I hear the spirit of the things that I have passed on to him. My work is finished." Now, I didn't read that letter until some years after when my aunt gave it to me. But to him, she had saw his vision live on in me. He never told me what that was, but he felt like if he had told me what the vision was, I would buck against it. He was probably right. He probably was right. But since he didn't tell me, it wasn't him leading me. It was God. And it wasn't until afterwards that I had the opportunity for my aunt to read me the letter, because the letter went on to say that I could not force him to do the things that God had asked of him to do. So I had to remove myself that he would hear from God and not from me. You know, quote this sometimes, and we talk about Rebecca chapter number 2, where, you know, Rebecca is having this discussion with God in chapter 1. He's upset with God. He starts complaining to God and asks God, you know, why? Where were you, God? Why are you letting people do this? And in chapter 2, he says, you know, after he, you know, spilled his guts, stomped, screamed, whatever you want to say, you know, God tells him, because Rebecca now sits back and says, "Now I got to wait for this answer that God's going to give me." And the Lord tells Rebecca this: for all the things you've been complaining about, write the vision. See, here's the true context of that. Because Rebecca, you come to me complaining, you write the vision of the answer. You write. If you see all of these issues, they're issues, and you see them because I gave you the answer. And if you're not going to do anything, Rebecca, the thing that I'm showing you to do is only for a point in time. It's time sensitive now. But when you write it, I need you to cast it that those that are around you will receive it and run with it. Because what I gave you, Rebecca, is time sensitive. Look at how powerful a vision is. Because we see so much turmoil, God gave us the answers. And I say God gave us the answers, I'm not saying it inside of a church. I'm saying it flat-footed outside the building. God just doesn't give answers in the building we call church. When you sleep, he'll wake you and give you an answer. And the answer that he gives you is not about church, it's about his people. They don't have to belong to a certain church in order for God to give you an answer for the issues that are going on in his name. But remember something now. God gave that answer to you. He didn't give it to nobody else. He gave that answer to you. He gave that burning desire in your heart about that issue to you. He gave you, he gave the thing that irks your spirit to you. The thing that makes you frown or gets you angry because you see something going on, he gave that answer to you. He did not give it to no one else. Because your vision is not somebody else's vision. It's yours. In other words, this fight that God has put you in is nobody else's fight. This is your fight. And the truth of the matter is you are equipped to win. You win because it's God that's putting that fire in you to see the anomalies that are happening. If Dr. King decides not to say anything, does that mean we stay in the present position that we were in during that time period? That we couldn't ride on the bus or ride in the front seat of the bus? You know, does that mean that we never would have known who Rosa Parks is? Does this mean that the speech that he made in Washington, D.C. at the monument at the Lincoln Memorial would never be heard? You know, think about all these things. And we're talking about Dr. King, but look at the people that have followed him. You know, would Thurgood Marshall have been a Supreme Court justice? Would we be looking at a black woman getting ready to be a Supreme Court justice? Would we have had a black president? You know, look, and now these are things we're looking at, but it's a vision. And it doesn't mean it has to be so great or so grand, because that small vision that you have, notice what I said a few minutes ago, is going to be connected to another small vision. And those two visions connected together is not small anymore. They could be medium-sized, but another small vision connects to that. Another small vision connects to that. And it's a large vision now. And it, as these visions begin to come together like magnets, they have a powerful strength within them. I just want you to regurgitate in your spirit right now either the things that have pushed you to where you are today, that has made you live and not die. You know, the things that you faced and God has brought you through them, and the things that you knew could have taken you out of here, but God saw fit to keep you here. He whispered something in your ear, or he stopped something from happening, is only because you're still here today, because he has given you a vision. So don't stop dreaming. Don't stop dreaming. I don't care what it looks like. Your dream is connected to your vision. Your dream may seem too big. It may seem crazy. It may not make sense. How much sense did the automobile make when we had horses? Surely somebody told Mr. Ford he really didn't create, but anyway, surely somebody told Mr. Ford he was out of his mind. The Wright brothers, what we driving? How much sense does it make to fly in the air? It's crazy. But look at what the Wright brothers did. We go from them creating an airplane out of the city of North Carolina, some city in North Carolina, to now major jumbo jets carrying hundreds of people in the air from country to country, from city to city, from state to state. Look at the vision. The man that decided to build a house, when we were kids, they told us the three little pigs. One build a house with straw, one with wood, the other with brick. But they were builders. Regardless, if one was built stronger than the other, the pig that built with brick had a greater vision. And the others, you know, they built really weak houses, but as theirs blew off or blew away because of the wolf, they were able to take shelter in the house that was built with brick. I really want to encourage you all. My purpose tonight to jump, holler, and scream and quote a whole bunch of scriptures and stuff of that nature, I wanted you to see something that is right before you, the vision that God gave you. Don't stop dreaming. Keep that dream alive. It has a huge effect on many people across denominational lines, across countries, across cities, states, families, genders. Look at the dream. See the vision. Wrap yourself around it. Don't let it go. Don't be like people have said when you go by graveyards, that there is a garden full of dreams. A graveyard is a garden full of dreams, in some cases, never materialized. In a lot of cases, forgotten about. But you don't have to be that way. I don't care what your educational level is. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you went through as a child. Doesn't matter to me what age you are, what gender you are, whether you're gay or straight. I said it. Whether you're gay or straight, doesn't matter. Whether you're in or out, whether you're black or white, Hispanic, Asian, doesn't matter. You have a dream. And if you let people categorize you and tell you you can't, you never will, if you listen to them. But if you listen and look at what God has put in your heart, has deposited in your spirit, if it is to build a big church where people could come, if it is to pastor where you could serve, where people can know who God really is, whatever that dream is, if it's to feed the homes, if it's to shelter or do something for women going through domestic violence or anything of that nature, if it's to create better resources or avenues to resources for people, whatever it is not too small. It's just the right size. Because once you hear God, you obey him, and you pursue what he has given you, your vision will be connected to another vision, and the dream continues. You may not see it materialize, but when you cast that vision and people hear the words and they can see it, even though it doesn't exist, if they have the courage to move forward, that vision lives. It lives. Be hard. Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop dreaming. If you don't know any other scripture, I want you to remember this in Proverbs 29:18. It may read a whole lot of different ways. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I will close this by saying, don't let them die on your watch. Don't let those people die on your watch. Pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God. Father, we come to the end of the thing that you wanted us to speak about tonight. And out of obedience, Father, you know, God, I thank you, oh Lord, because even I am encouraged. Even I am encouraged. And Father, I thank you, oh Lord, for the ears that were listening in, the people that tuned in tonight. And God, that they take what you've shown them beyond where their present circumstances are and continue to dream. To live, to be students, Father. God, I thank you, O Lord, because even I am encouraged. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Well, dear heart, I thank you again for spending your precious time with me. Doesn't go unnoted. I thank you for those that have decided to make comments, and it's a blessing for me, you know, and I want to continue to move forward, you know, with the things that God has given me to do because it's a vision he gave me. And there's something greater, something bigger coming down the road. And I want you to be ready for it. I want you to be ready for what that is and that you will be able to have an ear to hear everything that God is asking of you to do. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. In the name of Jesus, you all have a blessed evening. Amen.